Track 11. Our feature item this week is another of those biographies of notable women put together for TNF Soundings by Liz Allen from East Kilbride. We hope you enjoy these potted biographies as much as we do. This one is about Victoria Drummond, who forged an independent path as the first woman marine engineer in the UK. Several of her years at sea were during World War II, when she received awards for her bravery under fire. In a 40-year career, she was given the nickname Queen of the Engine Room. And here is Liz to tell us the story.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello again. It's Liz in East Kilbride here. My choice today is Victoria Alexandrina Drummond, a rather royal name, I think you will agree, and that's entirely appropriate, as I will explain. And in fact, in later life, her nickname was Queen of the Boiler Room. So I suppose I'll have to explain that to you. Her father was part of the court of Queen Victoria. So when our gal was born, he gave her the name of the Queen. Now, that was a gesture that was done by many aristocratic families at the time, and as a token of her appreciation, Queen Victoria allowed our Victoria to be a goddaughter. Now, this is looking like a very traditional upper-class path. And in fact, if I tell you that at the age of 19, she was presented at court to George V and Queen Mary as a debutante, you might be thinking, how on earth does she get the name of the Queen of the Engine Room? Well, the story is that as a wee girl, she was very good with her hands. She made wooden toys. She won competitions for it. Maybe that started something in her brain. But she announced to her family that she wanted to be a marine engineer. The good news, or the surprising news, I suppose, is her family supported this. Her father had contacts in the Caledon shipyard in Dundee. So our Victoria took herself along and worked on engines. And then she worked at evening classes at what was then Dundee Technical College, to such a level of expertise that she was elected as a graduate of the Institute of Marine Engineers. Now, a marine engineer has to, by definition, be on board ships. So that's when her career started. It's estimated that after her 40 years at sea, she had actually travelled the world 49 times, voyages to Australia, to China. But there was a huge resistance at that earlier time to a woman engineer. In fact, she was on land for about 11 years in the 1930s. The resistance to a woman and, of course, the worldwide depression. This did not keep her sitting doing things at home. She travelled in 1938 with a sister to Austria. Bad timing. It was just at the time when Adolf Hitler decided to take over Austria, the event known as the Anschluss, the event that features at the end of the musical, The Sound of Music. Victoria was actually standing on a pavement in Vienna when Adolf Hitler went past in his motorcade. She took a photo of him. She didn't like Vienna at that time, describing it as tense, chaotic and dangerous. And in fact, she sponsored Austrian refugees for several years. But to return to her seagoing attempts. She sat the British Board of Trade examinations. She failed the exams 31 times. Why? Was it because she was the only woman sitting in a room full of men? Was it the fact that they just decided there was not going to be a woman marine engineer on their ships? Well, the stories are such that in fact it seems she was failed purely because she was a woman. She was not, however, without support, because many other engineers saw her skills and wanted her to get a chance. So they advised her to move away from the British qualifications and find foreign qualifications, and that's what she did. And by 1940, she was a fully qualified chief engineer according to the Panamanian exams, which of course was a flag of convenience at that time. And that began the wartime dangers. As Victoria once said, "No one ever thought I would stick it out, but I did." Well, did she stick it out? You bet she did. On some occasions, she was facing shrapnel, machine gun fire, dangerous conditions. She was in Arctic convoys. She was in ships taking the goods over to Europe in the early weeks after the D-Day landings. Her most famous exploit was actually in 1940, when 400 miles out in the Atlantic, her ship faced an attack. She, at that point, ordered everyone else out of the engine room and somehow increased the speed of her engines, allowing the captain more manoeuvrability to avoid the bombs. The first mate said of her, "She is entirely without fear. She is the most courageous woman I ever saw, and she's very good at her job and has an uncanny power over the engines, for which I have thanked God." There were two immediate consequences of this bravery on the Bonita. One was that she received an MBE for her bravery at sea, and the other one was that she appeared in a comic in 1943. "The lady is an engineer," the article says, and it shows her looking rather glam, I must say, talking nicely to her engines, so the caption goes, and urging them to extra effort in the style of eagle illustrations of the 40s and 50s. And so the war went on. Most of the time, she had the support of the captain and of the crew. The times when she found it difficult were when she had a drunken captain, a drunken engineer. She does not seem to have faced real prejudice from the crew. She seems to have had a way with her. Perhaps it was the way with engines. Perhaps they admired her courage. Goodness, in 1940, she's on a ship which is in poor condition. The crew are a mix of Arab, Czech, Egyptian, Hungarian, Russian and Spanish. Even the dog was Polish. This gal knew no fear. I think we can accept that. In 1942, again during wartime, she had a pretty bad experience. A Captain Cheek on board this ship was the worst ship I ever sailed in. They were all heavy drinkers, she said of this, and she decided to take matters into her own hand. And when the ship docked at Methil in Fife, she had already reported the captain and the other heavy drinkers to the police, and they were to be taken away from the ship and locked up. At this point, the captain decided to sack Victoria. Now we're approaching mutiny, because the deck crew, firemen and the greasers and all the men, could see who was in the right, and they refused to sail without Victoria. The captain backed down and was escorted away to the prison cells. And so it went on during wartime, an 8-month round the world trip. When she was in America, she would not rest. She did fundraising for British civilians to such an extent there was a Victoria Drummond canteen in Lambeth and a Victoria Drummond ambulance in London as well. Courage under fire, yes. But did she always wear the overalls of the engine room? Well, no. Her aristocratic background meant that when she docked somewhere across the world, where even in wartime they were still having lavish parties, the story is that among her belongings she had an evening gown and long white gloves. So on those occasions she could scrub up rather well, step carefully along the deck, and go down to be met by a car, a transformed woman from engine room to, we'll call it, state room of some fancy mansion. Her career post-war was a mixed set of circumstances. Her two sisters were devoted to her, and the three of them lived together in London. She found some doors were closing again, but she still worked for the Cunard White Star Line, and her final 3 years at sea were spent as a chief engineer for a company based in Hong Kong. By now, she was an inspector and often had to stand up for the crew because she refused the persuading of some others in the company that some ship could go out to sea, and she considered it not seaworthy. Our Victoria was a woman of great action and passed away in 1978. When her family were going through her belongings, they found one other hobby which she had pursued through her life, you know, perhaps helping her to switch off from the dramas of the engine room, the grease and the oil, the machine gun fire, because those same clever hands that could coax engines into life could get more power to manoeuvre away from U-boat attack were also used in her quieter moment to craft exquisite embroidery. A woman of great talents, a woman of huge determination, a trailblazer to such an extent that she was shortlisted when it came to the Wallace Monument near Stirling, wanting a hall of heroines. She was one of only 14 women from Scotland to make that list. I think she deserves to be better known. The Queen of the Engine Room, Victoria Drummond.
TNF Soundings.
Here are just a few footnotes to that story. She's commemorated by a Victoria Drummond Room at the Institute of Marine Engineers headquarters in London. Her biography, The Remarkable Life of Victoria Drummond, Marine Engineer, was written by her niece, Cherry Drummond, the 16th Baroness Strange. In 2013, Drummond was featured in an exhibition, Women in Science, at the National Library of Scotland, which showcased the legacy of notable Scottish women scientists. Abertay University has a blue plaque on its old college building commemorating her training there to be an engineer when it was Dundee Institute of Technology. And the plaque features on the Dundee Women's Trail and Dundee Global Trail. In 2018, Drummond was inducted into the Scottish Engineering Hall of Fame. And finally, the Royal Navy named a theatre after her, used to train marine and air engineers at HMS Sultan in Gosport, the Drummond Theatre. A remarkable lady, and I, for one, am grateful to Liz for telling her fascinating story.